morning and turn to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. Yesterday, in view of Valentine's Day, the BBC News ran an article that summarized the stories of more than 100 listeners who wrote in. Couples who wanted to give their insights on what it takes to stay in love. Not just to love, but to stay in love. And one of the top things in common was being honest and forgiving one another. Last Sunday school, we looked at the dramatic scene in the story where Joseph forgives his brothers in chapter 45, verses 1 through 5. And we noted that the story doesn't give us a how to restore. It doesn't give us specific commands in how to go about that process. But it does give the theological basis that makes forgiveness and restoration possible. The foundational assurance that God is in control of all that befalls us. So for Joseph, that was chapter 42, verse 9. When he saw his brothers and them bowing down to him, he remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. But for you and me, the foundational assurance isn't in the form of a dream. It is in the form of Romans 8:28. That all that befalls us is in God's providential control. And he is working those things together for good. When it comes to the forgiveness scene in chapter 45, verse 5, you see both of these things laid side by side. If you look at that verse, please. Genesis 45, verse 5. Ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you. It doesn't lessen the responsibility of his brothers. It doesn't make God the author of sin or that sin was God's will. But it does mean that God is in this, even the evil actions of his brothers, working out his word, and that we should trust him, that we should trust his presence, his control, even the difficult things and evil actions of others. So in today's lesson, I want to revisit this scene. So remembering that statement, we're not given a how to restore. The story of Joseph is unique to him. He was in a position of control over his brothers. Nevertheless, there is still a forgiveness that takes place. And that means that there are elements in this dramatic story that made forgiveness possible. So this morning, I'd like us to look at the things that make forgiveness possible, that made forgiveness possible in his circumstances, and that make forgiveness possible today. So God's going to instruct us through history. We're not given commands, we're given the instruction from history, from the life of Joseph. And I guess, first of all, we should just underscore how important forgiveness is, how important it is in our marriage, how important it is in our relationship with our children and their relationship with us, how important forgiveness is in the people we come in contact with in the world, just living alongside other sinners like ourselves. And how important forgiveness is in our church family. I'm sure you know of circumstances where Christians haven't talked to one another, or Christians who will avoid one another because there's been no forgiveness. So there are four things that I'd like us to see today. Again, this isn't a how-to, but because forgiveness did take place, these are four things that make forgiveness possible. So the first of them I've already introduced last Sunday and already reviewed this morning. Joseph recognized, trusted in, and communicated the providential control of God. So in chapter 42, verse 9, he recognizes the providential control of God, that God is working in this. The dreams that he had 22 years earlier, some 20 years earlier, are now being worked out by the Lord. And then if you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 45, four times in how he speaks to his brothers, he is going to encourage them that God was in this, that God was in control, that what happened was in the providential control of God. So beginning in verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. So the four times, all things may not be to my liking. Joseph would have been forced to walk through the desert from Canaan to Egypt. I'm sure that he did not relish his slave days or the days in prison. They wouldn't have been to his liking or easy. But instead of the random things or the malice of others, we can give thanks to God for his goodness and wisdom, that he's working all things out for our good. I can always tell in my own life when I'm viewing the things in the right way, things that happen, things that I don't like, things that harm or are hurtful, I can always tell that I'm in a right place in my heart when I can give thanks to God for his goodness and wisdom, that he is working this for my good. So, number one, the first element that makes forgiveness possible, that made it possible for Joseph to forgive, is trusting in the all-wise, all-encompassing control of my Lord. My life isn't simply a pawn that's moved by others. I need to be able to look beyond the individual and have an eye of faith that sees the Lord and his good purpose. Second thing, the second element that we can see in this story that makes forgiveness possible, and I don't know how best to summarize this, but I think as I was preparing this, the best way to summarize it is to use a scriptural term. And the scriptural term I found is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And it's that word, tender-hearted. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So the second element that made forgiveness possible was Joseph's tender heart. So if you'd like to go back again to chapter 42, when we were here last Sunday, we dwelt on verses 21 through 23. We focused in on the guilt of the brothers, the guilt that they had held for a long time. But we didn't make note of Joseph's reaction in verse 24. And he turned himself about from them and wept. We don't know if he left the room, but when he heard the troubled soul of his brothers, the state of their heart, he wept. And then chapter 43, it wasn't just one time that we read of Joseph crying. In chapter 43 and verse 30, in this scene, Benjamin has come with his brothers. Now, if you remember, Jacob protests. He didn't want Jacob to go. If he lost both the children of his old age, that they would bring down his gray hairs to the grave. But they persuaded Jacob to let Benjamin go. And so if we could begin reading in verse 29, and he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And then in chapter 45, now it's the scene where he finally discloses himself to them. In verses 1 through 3, we read these just a minute ago, so if you look in verse 2, when he makes himself known unto his brethren, he wept aloud, and this was so loud a cry that the Pharaoh, the Egyptian servants, heard his cry. How do we normally respond when we're wronged? How do you normally respond when your wife says something or does something to you that's an offense? I wouldn't expect you to answer. Or when your husband does something to you that is an offense, how do you normally respond? Do we normally respond in anger? Do we respond in resentment? We don't all respond the same way. We might be the kind that blows up, or we might be the kind that clams up. In that case, we would stew on it. And while we're stewing on it, we might be working on ways to punish with attitudes or with words that will get even. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, tells us that we are not to avenge ourselves, that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But what we see that made forgiveness possible then and now, instead of a hardness of heart, there is a tenderness. A tenderness that grieves over the wrong, a sorrow for the breach in the relationship, and a longing for that to be restored. This is a second element that is necessary for forgiveness to take place, a tender heart, a tender-hearted grief. Number three, the third thing that makes forgiveness possible is a change in character. So last Sunday, we focused on and we made the comparison between chapter 37, verse 3, and chapter 44, verse 20. Both Joseph and Benjamin were children of Jacob's old age. They were both Rachel's children. And the test that Joseph arranges, and again, that's a unique part to this dramatic story in the Bible. The test that Joseph arranges targets that relationship. He puts his silver cup in Benjamin's sack. How will the brothers respond? How will they treat Benjamin? So chapter 44 is where those events are played out. If you'd like to turn there, please. And if you look, please, at verse 10. What could have happened to the other brothers after the silver cup was found? Chapter 44, verse 10. So verse 9 tells us that the one whose sack the silver cup would be found in, what would happen to them? They'd become a bondsman. What would happen to the rest is told us in verse 10.
They'd be blameless, they could go free.
They could go free. And then we read that it is found in. So again, the drama is here. You can picture the servant going through all the sacks. Not this one, not this one. Starting at the oldest, going down to the youngest. And verse 13, how many of them are upset?
Looks like all
of them. But then here is the real crunch. How many of them go back to Jacob? They could go free. How many of them do?
They all went to the city. They all stayed.
So even though they could be blameless, they could have just let, well, sorry, Benjamin, it's all on you. They all go back to the city. They show a change in character, a change of heart, and a change in the way they viewed Benjamin. They all could have gone free, but they all go to Joseph. So there's a change in them collectively. There's a change in their heart. There's a change in their treatment of Benjamin. But now if you look in verse 14, we're now going to transition from what we see in the brothers collectively, a change in them. But now we're going to see a change that takes place in Judah. Judah is mentioned, verse 14 and verse 16. But verse 18 is where he draws near to Joseph. And through what Joseph says from what Judah says from here to verse 34 to the end of the chapter reveals a change in Judah. So the rest are dismissed. But verse 18, Judah draws near. And there's a change now that's evident in how he thinks about someone else who has been wronged in this. So let me walk us through these. In verse 20, he speaks about his father, an old man, and a child of his old age, referring to Benjamin. And then in verse 22, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And then in verse 24, and it came to pass when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. Verse 25, our father. Verse 27, my father. Verse 30, my father. Verse 31, our father. 32, my father. And then verse 34, two times, my father. Which relationship is it that Judah is now concerned about that they had wronged?
His father.
Judah was the one who had the idea, let's sell Joseph. They brought that blood-stained coat, stained with goat's blood. And for these many years, they had lived out the lie to their father, causing him such grief. But in these verses, you now see a change in Judah's heart.
So it was Judah that suggested selling.
There, the reference is chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 26. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. So where there is real forgiveness, one element that is present that makes it possible is repentance, a change of heart and conduct. And then number four, the fourth element that we see that makes forgiveness possible is back in chapter 45, there is a restoration to affection. And we see this through the way that Joseph makes himself known to his brothers. So, he assures his brothers. If you look in verse 5, we looked at this earlier. This is where Joseph shows his confidence in God's providential control. You sold me, but God sent me. But now he's telling this to his brothers. And if you look at the beginning of that verse, he is giving them comfort through this. He is assuring them, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. He's assuring them of God's providential control. And he was comforting his brothers. So the first way that this restoration to affection is demonstrated is in how he communicates this confidence in the Lord, trust in the Lord. He recognized it. He trusted in it. But now he communicates it to his brothers. Trust in the Lord. The Lord was in this. And so this continues. There's a second way that it is demonstrated. In this chapter. So if you look, beginning in verse 13, and ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. So there's a lot of crying and kissing. Appropriate crying and kissing. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. So there's The affection is demonstrated. Where there is forgiveness, there's now communication and there's affection. And then there's a third way that this restoration to affection is demonstrated, and that is in the plan to bring Jacob down and the provision to bring Jacob down. So verse 9, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And then in verse 21, you see the provision that he makes, that he'll provide the transportation. Forgiveness is one of the most important ministries we have. And it's certainly the most important ministry that we can have in our marriage, in our family. It is certainly important because this is how we're delivered from bitterness or become discouraged in such a costly task. So, four things that make forgiveness possible: the recognition, trust, and communication that God's in control. He is working even in this part of my life. A tender-heartedness that grieves over the broken relationship. A change in character. And a restored affection. So not only for Joseph, but these elements are part of what makes forgiveness possible today. Let's pray.